Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wisdom Wide Open Radio. Join me, your host, Susie Bonham Craig, as we embark on another journey to open the portal of wisdom. I invite you to participate in the chat room and call in with your questions on 718-305-6584 and press 1 to enter the queue. And now, our journey begins. Soulmates and journeyers, welcome to this year 2010's new edition of Wisdom Wide Open Radio. I'm really, really excited to be here today because I really hadn't planned on being here today, but I'm really excited about tonight's show. This was something that just absolutely developed as the day went on when I got up this morning, and the name of our show tonight is Detox and Revitalize Your Resolutions. And the reason why I thought it would be really great to do a show was I myself, at the end of 2009, had made a decision to really clean up my life. There had been 2.5 years of a lot of introspection, a lot of retrospection, and a lot of diving into numerous things that, you know, I had actually committed to a couple of years ago, and that was one was to be open and aware, to be remain as flexible as I possibly could, and to learn as much as I possibly could. And when I asked the universe to bring it on, oh boy, did it bring it on. So I started accumulating a lot of things. I neglected a lot of things, and you know, I really put my heart and soul into the radio show. But one of the things that I recognized as the year was coming to an end was that I started to fall back on my commitments, mostly my commitments to other people. Some of you might have noticed that the radio show has been a little shaky over the last month or two, and I really wasn't quite sure how it was really fitting into my life anymore. And while I was looking at, you know, some of the things falling away, I really had to get down and ask myself, you know, what is really, really important to me right now? And the radio show was really a big part of my life. It was a real, it was me breaking open. And I remember on our first show last year, which, you know, I actually considered about doing an anniversary show this year. And I said, you know what, I really don't want to be remembering so much about last year. I really want to be moving on and stepping it up and really, you know, setting a new standard for myself. And as I said, what I realized towards the end of the year, as most of us do, we want to go out with a bang. And what I found out was that the year was really banging me up. So, you know, I have a confession to make with that. And what I realized was it wasn't so much that I was falling back on my commitments to other people and to, you know, the endeavors that I had really embarked on. But what I realized what was coming to the surface was that I was not honoring my commitments to me. And, you know, those of you that know me, I set on this journey quite a while ago, and it was really about to get to know me better than anyone. And because I realized that throughout my life, and I've had many journeys in my life, as I'm sure most of you have, is that from the inside out, I needed to relearn. I needed to be reconnected with myself again. And that's why I've titled the show Resolutions, because many of us make these resolutions. Some of us don't even think about it until maybe 2 or 3 weeks before the new year. And perhaps we don't even have anything set up for the following year. And, you know, we have no problem welcoming in the new year, but we really don't focus in on what the new year is welcoming us up to. So, along with that, I made a commitment to myself to really be reconnected with my soul. And what I also found out as I've gone through my life is that the resolutions that many, many people make at the beginning of the new year will sometimes fall away. More often than not, they'll fall away, they'll fade, and they'll start to wane, usually within the first 30, 60, or 90 days. So I have a commitment to our listeners as well as myself. And tonight is an open show. I really encourage you to interact and share your stories and your intentions for this year, whether you're struggling, whether you're hesitating, perhaps you have some fear in the way, or maybe you've got some really good, solid intention that you've already started having this wonderful passion that arises in you and the desire to really stick forward with those commitments for yourself. Because no matter what the commitments we make out there to everyone else, it starts with our commitments with ourselves. And they're usually what we come to find the hardest ones to keep. And I have a little special treat for everyone this evening. As I was embarked on Facebook this morning, I opened up my news feed, and there was Robin Rice. And Robin Rice is a friend of mine on Facebook, and she is an author of several novels and nonfiction books, and she's also the e-zine author at www.bewhoyouare.com. And nothing resonates with me more than that when I'm welcoming all of you to come and join the show tonight and talk about, let's get into discussing about getting back to being who we are. So I'd like to bring on Robin in a few minutes. I would like to share with you a little bit more. This was actually a surprise. I wrote to Robin and told her that, you know, rather than saying I'm doing things by flying by the seat of my pants, that I now want to call this on the crest of my wings, because one of the things I did realize was that I always claimed to be a spontaneous person, and what I realized was that I was really clamming up recently, probably in the last 6 months of last year, and I had a partner who was really, really mirroring to me just how spontaneous I wasn't. So I have a new, I guess, commitment to spontaneity, and this is why I've been able to contact Robin today and see what we can make of this. So this was not something planned, although plans are good things to have. We just want to roll with it. So let me just tell you a little bit more about Robin. Robin Rice is an internationally published author and mentor to women leaders in a wide range of public service and private industries. Her writing has been translated into 3 languages and distributed in 9 countries. And Robin has traveled the world to study indigenous leadership methodologies from a wide variety of traditions. So she's blending the past and the future to meet the needs of the now. And Robin created BeWhoYouAre.com at the beginning of the internet era, and she's been evolving her offerings through the constantly changing and endlessly fascinating medium of the World Wide Web ever since. And I'm really, really thrilled and honored to present to you this evening to join our discussion and talk about lots and lots of things. And one of the things we are going to talk about is, if you're visiting the show page, is her painted face, talking about Let's Jump. So let's just jump right into this. Welcome, Robin. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah. Now, you know, the funny thing was, is I got on Facebook and you were talking about being in day 10 of a cleanse that you're doing for yourself. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about what that's all about?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, like a lot of people, first of the year, there's sort of a feeling around that. There's a lot of good intentions set and all that kind of thing. And I just decided, you know, I really just listen to my body, and it tells me kind of when I'm ready. And it almost feels like, you know, kind of your feet move in front of you, and then you kind of see, oh, I'm going there. So it sounds like you know a lot about that from the introduction. So I've done a really, really deep cleanse, which is really just fasting, several times, which I have to say, the very first time I did it, I thought I would die. You know, 2 hours without eating seemed impossible. 9 days seemed, you know, ridiculous. But you know, I've done it several times now. So this one, I decided, you know, again, I just tuned in, and I decided that I would do a modified version of a fast. So I'm still, you know, I'm eating raw foods, steamed vegetables, fruits and a little bit of nuts, but the calories are still pretty low. So, and then I'm also taking some herbs that just cleanse everything through. So it's still pretty, you know, it's intense to go through. So, you know, today's day 10, and I'm not a happy camper today. I'll be honest with you. I'm like, how long did I say I was going to do this for?
Well, you know, let's dip a little bit into that. What is it about it that's making you unhappy?
Well, you know, I think anybody, you know, we have our comforts, and a lot of us have comforts around food. I definitely have comforts around food. So not being able to go out to the Mexican restaurant for dinner on Sunday afternoon. You know, Brian, my husband, went out to lunch with a friend, and I didn't go because there wasn't going to be anything there that I was going to be able to eat. So those kinds of things that are just part of our normal celebration, our normal life, and that taste wonderful and that feel wonderful and create our social world, you know, those are parts of us. And so when that's not available to us, then we kind of sink back. And when you sink back, which is the good part of a cleanse, the emotional side of a cleanse, is you sink back and you go, okay, well, where really am I, and what's really important right now, and what am I trying to shift, and where do I want to be? So crankiness is absolutely a part of it. There's no way around it. You know, you're going to cleanse, you're going to be cranky sometimes, and it's like, okay, yeah, I can be cranky, and I'm still doing this, you know, but. You know, to think you're not going to be cranky, that's crazy.
Well, you know, it's amazing because even though, you know, we may have some intake that isn't really good for our body responds in a way, and I learned a lot of this from Bruce Lipton and several other people who are really into this, you know, the cell biology and this epigenetic thing about how, you know, we've been giving this to or feeding whatever it is in our mind or feeding our bodies, and our body adapts, even though it's not good for us. So while we're trying to go through this withdrawal process, I hate to think of it that our cells are getting a little angry with us, but they're saying, hey, you're changing the routine, and now I've got to start working a different way again. And it takes a little while, and I think that's where a lot of the crankiness comes in.
Absolutely, and it's not just the cells, although that's a big piece, but also just the brain synapses. You know, the first time I ever fully fasted, probably the most, I would say it was almost terrifying, it was that intense, was that there was nothing to punctuate my day. And I had no idea that I was tied in to meals as a way of knowing where I was in the 24-hour cycle of a day. I had no clue that I was tied in as tightly as I was until it went away. And I would walk around and feel like I was in this vast, open space all the time, and it was interesting, but it was also terrifying.
Yeah, it is terrifying. And, you know, it's funny, just to let people know how this whole thing developed for me was, you know, every year for the Christmas holiday, when you shop for other people, I always get something for myself. And it's
good.
Kind of just like, yeah, I don't usually do that during the year, you know, and birthdays come and go, but I usually just say, you know what, I'm just going to give something, and usually it's something for the house, or maybe I'll get a pair of boots, or, you know, a book or CD or something. And this year, and I don't watch television, and I know that you don't either,
yeah.
But usually if the TV's on, it's Animal Planet for the dogs when, you know, they're fooling around, and I need them to be quiet.
Seriously,
and,
your dogs watch TV?
Oh, they love Meerkat Manor and, yeah, Animal Planet.
Oh, that
they
is
watch
so
all
amazing.
The time.
I've never heard of that. That's amazing. Didn't mean to interrupt. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. They even get up on the sofa and watch TV.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, you know, the TV's here, and really I just opened up to TV to be, you know, something that I resonate with, whether it's something I want to learn about or, you know, couple of pay-per-view movies, things that I'm interested in that I resonate with. It's really no different than walking through, you know, Barnes & Noble or wanting to get a hold of a book and something that resonates me. But in any event, this year, the TV happened to have been on, and then there was a Jack LaLanne infomercial for his juicer. And I've had a juicer for about 20-something years that sits in my garage. I've taken it out a few times, and I, you know, I'm nowhere near as conscious. I was nowhere near as conscious as I am today about all of this. And I decided to renew my commitment, and I went and I purchased this. And that was my commitment. I wanted to feel better. And because I, what I realized was towards the end of the year, when I say it was banging me up, it was banging me up. I mean, physical manifestations were, you know, the high energy of my day. I ended up with gout, which I never experienced. I think it was, I'd rather be in labor with 10 different children, I think, than go through the pain that I went through in my foot. And what this was, it was a buildup of uric acid in my system. And I figured, you know, I ate a lot of seafood during the weekend. Man, I just need to calm this down. And I got hold of some cherry juice and drank it. And I was better in about 3 or 4 days. Long story short was that a couple of weeks later, I was lying in bed and I was actually spewing. I know this is going to sound disgusting, folks, but I was actually spewing acid being secreted from the inside of my cheeks and my mouth.
Wow.
And it was a nasty, scary experience. And what I mean by that was that the tartness and the burning that was coming from the inside of my mouth, I knew in a moment that my body was trying to secrete some kind of toxin that was in there. And then I started, you know, hooking all this stuff up, and it just so happened that, you know, there was a lot of things I needed to release and I needed to let go. So there's a lot of things I tried to clear out of my life. You know, one of was a lot of clutter of living here for 12 years and, you know, accumulating mom stuff along the way when she passed away, and realizing I've really just neglected that and I needed to do this for me. And so I started juicing and I felt really good. So when I heard that you were on the cleanse, another thing, and I want to hear more about your story and where you're headed with this, as much as I do everyone else that's in the chat room and in our listeners, to share your intentions and your stories for the new year and, you know, what that means. What does detox and revitalization mean to you? So anyway, I'm on my detox, and now someone just introduced me to diatomaceous earth. Have you heard of this?
No, but I saw that you said that. You said it's actually eating the earth?
It's eating dirt. Yeah.
Eating dirt. Okay, I have something. I'm sure I could sell you something. If you're willing to eat dirt, I'm sure I've got something I could sell you. But tell me more.
Well, you know, there's a lot of buzz around. Of course, we're really becoming more conscious about organic farming and really becoming aware and conscious of a lot of the processed foods that we have, how the government is controlling that. And you know, really wanting to get back to basics. And I know that you have traveled, you mentioned, around the world with some indigenous women and, you know, connecting with their traditions, their philosophies and things like that. And a lot of it does go back to those types of basics. Homeopathy, which is coming up, which a good friend of mine, Claudia, is a wonderful homeopath. And it's about those concepts about going back to the natural order of really where we originate from. Every mineral that's found in the earth is found in our bodies. Every mineral that's in our water, a lot of the components are in our bodies. We are one with this planet. We're one with this universe. And so it's about replenishing that connection with nature, that connection. And when I heard about diatomaceous earth, I had no idea what it was, but my neighbors were like putting it in their juice and drinking it. And this is very, very fine, fine, fine powder. They actually call fossil shell powder. And what it is it comes from the earth, from sedimentary rock. And the chemical components, when I say chemical, I don't mean induced chemical, I mean natural chemical, is, and I can't go in and explain this whole thing because I'm not a scientist, but apparently the benefits of regenerating this through your body is tremendous. For people who are out there with chronic pain, with high cholesterol, with lowering, you know, high blood pressure, things like this, menopause, so many different ailments that are out there, and this is about the regeneration. Now, from what I heard about diatomaceous earth, I'm going to spell this for you folks because I encourage you to go and Google it, or you can go to a site called earthworkshealth.com. This is a company that generates, mines, and refines food grade diatomaceous earth. Now, diatomaceous is spelled D-I-A-M-O-T-A-C-E-O-U-S. And typically, it's been used over the last 30, 40 years, maybe even longer, as an organic pesticide. It actually has very, very sharp components in its cell structure that breaks down the shells of insects and causing them to dehydrate. So a lot of farmers, especially organic farmers, use this and to take care of their pets because, they're, you know, whether it be fleas and ticks and things like that. So this was diatomaceous earth. And I couldn't believe it. And I had to go back because I remember my mother telling me, not telling me, telling someone else, and I overheard her say, a child is not healthy unless they eat 2 pounds of dirt by the time they're two. You know, because we know what kids get into.
Yeah.
And here I am eating dirt. And I don't know what's going to happen, but there are so many testimonials on that site. Oh, thank you, Sunny Jay, for, I just want to say he posted this into the chat room, but I encourage everybody to just go and take a look at what it is. I'm giving it a shot. And let's see what happens. I mean, everyone who eats processed produce and pork and meats and things like that, you have parasites in your body. I don't care who you are. So, and these parasites, you know, part of this cleansing that we're doing is really to cleanse out our bodies and to keep our cells healthy. And we're allowed, what we're actually doing is cleaning out the clutter. So we have heard of colon cleanses. We've heard of so many numerous products on the market. And I've gone back, just like you, Robin, to fruits and vegetables. You know, I'm doing juicing specifically, taking vitamins, and now I'm starting this 7-day cleanse. So if I'm cranky, can I call you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely call me. You know, Facebook me as well. You know, just get on there and say, hey, I'm cranky.
Yeah, and it is true. I know about the withdrawal process, but from what I understand, this diatomaceous earth, folks, this dirt, which is really a white powder, and it actually doesn't taste bad at all, and it dissolves in any kind of liquid. So if you're drinking purified water, you're juicing, you know, put it in anything. It's really, really, it just dissolves instantly, and there's no really a taste, you know, that would affect you. So that's all I have to say about that.
Wow. Let us know how that goes.
Well, I will. And like I said, I encourage everyone to go to earthworks, W-O-R-K-S, health.com. There's also a video up on YouTube about that where they explain, and then you can go visit the testimonials. And I'll get to tell you, this stuff is dirt cheap. You can get 10 pounds of this stuff for $14. And you're only taking a teaspoon or two a day.
No pun intended, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I love about you. So tell us.
I couldn't pass it up. I couldn't.
Tell us a little bit more, and then I'm going to be inviting some people to call in because I'm really, really anxious to get people involved and have them share stories of any kind of detoxing and revitalization plans that they have about connecting them back with them. What else is going on for you, Robin? Like, after this cleanse is over, what do you have an expectation?
Wow, that's a good question. Not a huge expectation. I feel like I need to tune in towards the end of when it's, you know, whenever I'm going to end it. The herbal cleanse is a 30-day cleanse, so that would take me through the end of January. But I'll tune in closer to the time I end it to sort of see, you know, how do I really want to change things? I've been changing my diet for years, and it's really already a very healthy diet. So it's really just figuring out what my body wants and how it wants to, you know, wants to proceed. So from that perspective, I don't have a lot of plans.
The foot to take a step so you can follow along.
exactly, right. And it does. You know, I'll know. You know, I used to be a meat eater, and, you know, it kind of very, very slowly I began to realize that it just didn't taste good to me anymore. And I wasn't trying to, it wasn't philosophical, I wasn't trying to make things happen. It just sort of happened. And then, like, the same thing happened with fish, and that actually was more philosophical because I learned about what we're doing with the oceans and those kinds of things. And so I just became more conscious of, you know, what's my relationship to the ocean and the mother ocean in particular, because I have such a strong connection. And is this something that I want to be a participant of, which is basically, you know, allowing so that I can go out and have my sushi, which I love. You know, that means that I'm going to, you know, and this may sound a little far-fetched, but, you know, I'm going to eat my brothers and sisters in the ocean. That just seems a little selfish. So, you know, there's less I'm ordering of the salmon and more I'm ordering of the mushrooms and the, you know, avocado and all those kinds of stuff. So I really trust, and I think we can all trust, that if we just keep listening over time, we're just going to get cleaner and cleaner with it. It's when we shut down and we resist what we're sensing and don't follow what feels right, just because we want to enjoy our addictions or our, you know, the way that we like to do it, then you know, progress is impeded. But otherwise, just, you know, listening.
Well, you know, it's funny that you brought up addictions. Because we get cranky and letting go of them too.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, most of my life I've really been, it's really about the human psyche for me. It was really about feelings, emotions, and the understanding. And this is really the first time that I've been committed to take this journey with my body. You know, I've been ill before, and I've followed some traditional medicine, which didn't really feel good. And I really feel that it was my thoughts about my well-being and the feeling about my well-being that helped me to overcome what was going on. And even to the point of ignoring the detriments that it might have followed it. It was almost like there was no door open for me for systemic growth of anything that was really impeding me. And, you know, most people said, well, you know, talk to somebody, Susie. You should be seeing this. You should be doing that. But something resonated inside of me that said, just sit quiet with this, because there's really nothing that anybody can do, and I don't want to be bombarded with a lot of the outside stuff, like when you said you could sell me anything.
Yep,
right? I've been in sales most of my life, so who's the best consumer,
right?
A salesperson.
Yep.
The most unconscious consumer, I should say.
But I
so,
think you're exactly right about that. I think you're what you heard was just sit still. And that alone is very, very, very hard for an enormous amount of people. But if you can do that, the answers will come. If you can just sit and listen and not rush to fix with whatever, you know, is being sold or whatever, until you hear that it's right. You know, once you hear that it's right, or once you resonate, truly resonate, then it's great. But that listening, I mean, that's brilliant. That and it's so, you know, it's free and it's simple.
Yeah, well, that's it, right? And they say the best things in life aren't free. They are. They are free.
They are,
and
you're right.
And it's true. And, you know, even though my kitchen and part of my garage right now looks like a fruit and veggie stand, because I, you know, never would I have imagined that you need so much fruit to do this cleanse. And it's amazing, because when I look at what I put through that machine and I say there's no way I physically possibly could have consumed this, all this fruit in one sitting, or vegetable. It's just amazing. And knowing that your body's able to accept it this way, and it's easy and it's smooth, and really it's the only utensil I've been using. A glass, a pitcher, juicer, and the contents, you know.
So what are you going to do when you get cranky? What strategies will you use?
Well, actually, you know what? I have more energy, and I'm not knowing what to do with it. And here's the kicker. You know, like I said, last year for me, it was a very transitional and transformational year for me. And I really tried to step into a lot of different things. So as you know, even as great multitaskers as women can be, a lot of things didn't get as much focus as I really intended them to have. So now I'm a smoker, and I want to quit smoking. But I know that it's very hard to try to get there all at once on every single subject.
Sure.
So this resonated with me. I know, and when you say going back, and that's why I'm talking about reconnecting and you know, getting back in touch with your soul. When I was a little kid, now, my grandparents owned a deli, you know, back in the 60s. I had an Italian family and a Hungarian family, so you can imagine what that was like.
Oh,
and,
yeah, I got the corned beef and the sauerkraut going already.
Right. Yeah, and all that good stuff, Holishki, whatever it's called. But anyway, I did not grow up in a house that was abundant with fruits and vegetables, although there was always enough stuff to make a salad. We did not have salad with dinner every night, although my mom would present what she thought was a balanced meal, and that was, you know, the balanced meal that they were shooting out to everyone in the Ladies' Home Journal back then, Better Homes and Gardens, you know, type of thing, your staples. And but I thought about how when I was little, I used to go in front of the TV, and I'd run upstairs to get a snack, and I would take an entire cucumber out of the vegetable drawer. I would take a whole entire head of lettuce and some carrots, and I'd go down and eat this entire stuff in front of the television set. And everyone used to make fun of me. They would call me the little rabbit, you know, that. But what I realized as I was going through the clutter here in my house, I came across all these pictures, you know, those pictures that you have over the years that you say, one of these days I'm going to sit down and put an album together. And I connected back with my childhood and those things that were resonating with me. And I was saying, you know, I didn't grow up in an environment like that. I didn't grow up in the condition, I grew up in that conditioned environment where that was not the norm for me. Yet, when I was little, nothing stopped me from doing that. I naturally and organically went there. So there was something really magical in that for me. There was something that I needed to resonate with, and how good it felt. I was an energetic kid. You know, I was a ballerina. I was a gymnast. I was a cheerleader. I was very athletic, and I loved being active, and I loved having the energy that I had. So
but
you're
right. It does scare people. It does scare people to have that abundance of energy and not know what to do with it. I find that a lot. It whether it be because you're cleansing or because you're having some kind of a, you know, spiritual awakening or something. People when they have this abundant energy and it's not what they're used to, you know, their psyche wants to kick it out as fast as if it were something bad happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so learning to sit with that greater energy and not necessarily, you know, starting five new projects or, you know, I mean, I think sometimes we're afraid what we'll commit to in those states, you know. what will I get myself into? But can I offer you a suggestion that works for me with the extra energy?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I do some Qigong, and one of the things that when I have that extra energy, the idea, my body is uncomfortable because I'm like, I've got a much higher vibe going on, you know. It's just like, ooh, what do? Walk around the house kind of thing. And if I simply pull it in to what's called your dantian, you know, behind the belly button, the center of the body, and imagine pulling that extra energy in, then it's mine for later when I want it for something else. And it
so you're storing
just,
it.
I'm storing it. It's not just flying out everywhere, which makes me uncomfortable and makes me want to do something to get rid of it, and yet, I mean, it's not wasting it either. So really just doing it through the breath is saying, okay, I've got all this, you know, this high energy, whatever. I just kind of imagine sucking it in through my breath, you know, and pulling it into that part of me and then storing it and then just breathing out a relaxed breath. That is really helpful. And then I can calm down again, and after, you know, just maybe 2 or 3 minutes, I'm feeling both stronger and more calm.
All right, well, then that's really interesting, because I've heard about, how do you pronounce it again?
Qigong.
Qigong, but it's spelled with a Q, isn't it?
Yes. Qigong. I mean, people spell it differently. I may be spelling it wrong or saying it wrong, but it's some people use C-H-I and some people use Q-I. So it just depends on who's spelling it too. It's
okay.
But it's ancient Oriental traditions. Energy,
wow.
Of working with energy.
Well, you know what? I'm in touch with so many energy workers, and I have heard that. So it's certainly something that I'm going to, you know, to investigate. But like I said, it's about right now being focused where I am. And my next step is to quit that smoking. And when you talked about what do you do with all that energy, I have a friend right now who's going through quitting smoking and actually found it hard for herself to put words together through this withdrawal process. She was like absolutely out of her mind. And I resonated with that because over the past week, I don't know if people are out there, I'd really like to make you aware of this as well. If you've heard of Brandon Bays and The Journey, Skip Lackey, who was actually their New Jersey USA facilitator, has been doing an 8-day free cleanse on Blog Talk Radio. My friend Louise is the moderator, the chat moderator for that show. And I believe the live shows are concluding this evening, but I did that work all week long. And one of the things when you were talking about, Robin, is about the energy was I came to a spot where it was over the summer sometime, and there was like a period of 8 hours where our power went out. And it was getting dark. You know, it went into like 3 or 4 in the morning. And I was absolutely faced with nothing except myself.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, you know, all the things we take for granted, right? You start thinking and you go up to do something and you're like, there's nothing, I can't do this. And it was a really scary process for me because even though I said, well, I can't do that, I went up to do something else and I couldn't do that either. And I realized that my life was filled with distraction. And it really brought me inside to say, I've got to sit down and meet Susie right now. And this is not a comfortable thing.
That's huge to do that.
Yeah, and it was a powerful experience. And it wasn't always pleasant, I need to tell you.
Yeah.
Because there are places I didn't want to go. But you know what? After a few hours, I opened up and I lit a candle and I said, whatever's here for me, just please show me. Show me what it is right now. And
beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm still working through the process. So that's what I did with that energy because I had no place to place it.
Yeah.
And because a lot of us, that's what we do. We fill our days, we fill our minds, we fill our bodies with distraction. And very often do we really miss, you know, what's going on with us inside. So that's part of my commitment to my cleanse as well, is that this is not just for my body, but for my mind and for, you know, my heart. So, and I'm sure the way that you're following this, that, you know, if you can practice and find a place to channel the energy, like you just mentioned with Qigong, I said that right?
Yep.
That it's a comfort place to go to. Where you're safe, even though the things that come up don't feel comfortable.
Right. And those things are going to be there. I mean, I've worked in the personal growth industry for a long time now. And you don't ever get to avoid those things if you're going to progress. Sometime you're going to have to deal with them, so why not now? They don't go away. I mean, you don't necessarily spend your life inside of them either. You know, you don't have to become a professional healee or something,
yeah.
You know. I think a lot of people get stuck in that I've got to keep healing myself phase too. But you do, you know, you've got to get to know you. And the beauty of it is, and this is, you know, the amazing part in my opinion, is that once you get through that fear and once you sit down, you actually fall in love with yourself. And it's an experience very much like falling in love with someone else. I mean, I used to joke and say, man, you know, you just didn't want to be around me when I went through my falling in love with myself phase because I was just so cool. I was just like amazed at myself all the time. And
it
must have been annoying to be around me. But you know, you fall in love with this person that you've been carrying with you your whole life.
And it is the real you.
It's the real you, and it's like the rest of it is so not important compared to that. The rest of the journey, you know, okay, whatever. You can die now. I mean, not that you want to, but you can die now and know that you met yourself. And we're so afraid of that. We are so afraid of that meeting that we'll do anything. We'll have our addictions. We'll cover up. We'll do, you know, this is the, you know, the opposite of be who you are. We'll wear 10 coats so we have no idea what our body actually looks like. So because we're afraid of what it's going to look like if we actually get naked. And I don't mean that literally. I mean it figuratively, although literally also works.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of exercises out there where that's actually the exercise, is to stand in front of the mirror naked and really get to know you.
Right, right. And we're so used to being self-critical. I mean, the average person is so self-critical in their head that you're afraid there's just going to be more of that. But actually, once you get through a certain layer of it, it's not there anymore. And it's peaceful and it's beautiful, and you begin to become, you know, you unburden yourself of yourself, which is awesome.
Mm. You know, this is, now I'm going to have to get into the face paint, but before I do, I just wanted to acknowledge some people in the chat room that were talking about quitting smoking, and they're really helping me out here with the good old diatomaceous earth. But some of the comments, Serendipity Jane, who's in the chat room, just said that she uses a great positive affirmation, that my body is the temple of my mind and spirit, and only what's healthy and clean enters my body. Now, that's a commitment. To me, that's a commitment to myself, yourself, about what you allow and what you don't allow. And I think part of the detoxing is really knowing the difference between what you've been allowing and why you've been allowing what you've been allowing. Was it because of someone else's influence? You know, was it the record collections from your life up till now? And really to get basically back in touch, and that's why I referred to going back to when I was a child. I mean, sure. I wasn't conditioned that way, but I had a natural orientation. I mean, the deli that my grandparents owned was, you know, cold cuts and ice cream, and, you know, we had floor-to-ceiling shelves with canned goods. So, but I went somewhere. I went somewhere that nobody else in the family went to, and that was my connection to me. So I feel really, really fortunate that I've made that connection again, and that's really where I want to be going. Also, I just like to congratulate some of the people who have stopped smoking. They're saying, I'm welcome to give them a call, and, you know, possibly they can help me out. So this is a great show like this. And again, I just want to let everyone know you're listening to Wisdom Wide Open Radio. This is our actually debut show of 2010, and we're speaking with Robin Rice of BeWhoYouAre.com, and that is Be Who You Are Productions, correct?
Yep.
Okay. And we'd like to find out a little bit more about you, too. But one thing I do want to mention, if anyone's on the show page, please tweet the show. We'd really like to get some conversations running up. We have about 40 minutes left. So, and if there's anyone in the chat room, please call in on 718-305-6584 if you have comments, intentions you'd like to share, questions for Robin or myself. You know, or just come and join the discussion. We'd love to have you. All right, Robin. There we go.
All right.
See all this energy? I don't know what to do with it.
Ah, yay!
I'm already looking forward to my next juice and some more dirt.
There you go. You know I'm going to razz you about that. You know I am.
Well, I'm telling you.
I need
you
the dirt on today.
And you know what? I do want to, for those of you who are listening and in the chat room, I want you to understand there's a diatomaceous earth out there that is, you got to stay away from. And that's the kind that they put into pool filters that clean up the chemicals and stuff in pools, as well as the ones that they use for the organic gardening. You must, if you're going to explore this, get yourself or get some information on food-grade diatomaceous earth, because that's the only thing that you want to put your hands on. You know, the other stuff is good for pets. This is even good for pets. I've already taken a bunch of it and swiped my dogs with it, and, you know, because ticks and they're around all year long. And I'm actually putting teaspoons of it into their daily food to help their digestive systems. So I just wanted to put that disclaimer out there. Make sure you get your hands on the right stuff.
Which is great.
Okay. So, Robin, where would you like to go with this?
Well,
or something else?
What do you want to know?
Well, you know, I've been friends with you on Facebook a while, and we chat back and forth. We may leave comments, and, you know, as your network grows, it becomes more and more difficult to really get into someone's page, let alone for it to, like, exactly manifest on your screen. It takes forever.
Yeah.
And I went to your site for the first time today. I think in the very beginning I went, and you talked about your books and whatnot, but this is the first time I've been to BeWhoYouAre.com, and I was really, really impressed with your site. And I do encourage everyone to go there and check out Robin and her books. And one thing I noticed that caught my eye was that I've always been a reader to learn. In the very beginning, I used to read fiction, but I never really – I kind of got away from that. I kind of got away like, well, you know what? I want to know what's going on. I don't want to, you know, talk romance and fiction people making up stories and all this. And I saw what you said on your website, and it was there was a quote by someone else. You know what? I'm not right there. But it was about people who give up reading fiction. Do you remember what that quote was exactly?
I don't remember the full quote, but it's basically that I don't trust people who've given up fiction because the imagination, the intellect takes over and the imagination goes off in corners and becomes part of walled off spaces. But now I have to say that my fiction is a little different than your average fiction. I'm definitely not Stephen King. And I think actually after you start to cleanse and after you start to awaken, you're not really interested in Stephen King anymore anyway. Maybe you are, but mostly you're not. So the fiction that I write is there's a great new term that's been tossed around lately, and I think I'm about ready to pick it up, which is called living fiction, which is basically, you know, if you were, say, imagine yourself, you know, a couple hundred years ago, deep into the tribe, into the rainforest, and you've got, you know, the drum beats going on, and you've got the people sitting around the fire, and the person steps up, the leader or the shaman or whoever steps up and starts to speak. They don't speak in 7 bullet points. They tell stories. And the stories carry the message through the energy of the story, through the imagination, through the fire that you're seeing, through the drumbeat that you're hearing. Through that emotional connection, the story opens up. And so it gets in a way that it isn't just in the mind. And unfortunately, in our world here, we have most of what's going on in our minds. And so we want to read a book because it's going to give us the 7 bullet points, and we think we're going to be able to, you know, put those in our minds and we're going to do them. And the vast majority of people know the experience is that they can't. They can't actually do those 7 steps. They read it, it sounds interesting, they get excited, and then, you know, a week later they don't remember what they read. Stories, especially living fiction, that which is infused with energy, infused with spirit, is going to stay with you for days. I have people, or weeks, months, I have people who tell me that some of the novels that I've written, they go back to and read them 3 and 4 times, and they only have to pick up a small bit, and they're right back in that feeling of remembering that energy. And so, you know, I mean, I'm not a big name author. I have published internationally, which is great, but, you know, there isn't really a place for the work that I do on the shelf, at least not yet, but it's very different than what you're thinking of with fiction. It's very different than just having a romance story that, you know, there's 5 gazillion of them on the shelf.
Well, you know, I love living fiction. I just, that is such a hook'em title. I mean, I really love that because, you know, I've been doing a lot of the Abraham work, God, since it's been almost 20 years now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always about the new story. It's not about focusing on really what's even in your reality, what's showing up for you. It's about really turning your undivided attention to what it is that you want and what you want to create. And when you're talking about this living fiction, that's what it is. That's really a process of creation. It's starting with that imagination. And I've worked before with Melissa Zolo. I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she's an imagist. Mm. And this is what she does. You know, she'll start off by telling you if you plant tomatoes, you're going to get tomatoes. So, you know, what would you like to grow in your garden? And it's not about, it's okay to stay where we are and to be in that reality, and we can call it reality. But the minute that we start sticking to that, we can't move. And so this living fiction, this sounds like a new birthing to me.
Yeah, it's, you know, I hear all the time that, you know, I'm ahead of my time with it. And I don't know. Those are just the stories that come to me. But I do know that we need the stories, the old way of telling the stories. We need it again. We miss it. It's the dirt that's missing in our psyche. and not necessarily the light and love only. I mean, good fiction makes you turn the page because you have to know what's going to happen next. You know, and when Spirit gave me these stories, when I first got these stories, when they first came to me, my first response was, okay, look, if I'm going to write fiction, I'm not writing bad, preachy fiction, you know, which there's a lot of, especially in the spirituality market. I said, I'm going to write really good fiction, and if it happens to have a message, awesome. You know, and I hope it does, but I'm not going to have boring page turners. I want you to be on the edge of your seat trying to figure out how in the heck this is going to work and to have skin in the game yourself as a reader. So when you do have skin in the game, when it's your story, and countless people write me and tell me how, you know, the synchronicity shapeshift around what they're reading, it becomes your story, then the transformation of the characters and the ahas of the characters become your ahas as well. And that's what really makes it transformative.
Is that a result of having read the story? Or as they're reading the story, do they find the resonance of like, hey, you know, Robin's tuned into what I'm all about, or I've been there? Or is it something that it's a result of reading the story because there is that anticipation of the unknown that's coming next?
Well, what I do as a writer, my job is, this is I'm giving you the real stuff here, okay? My job is to make you laugh and cry. That's my job. My job is to get you so emotionally involved that you yourself are laughing out loud at 9 o'clock at night when the rest of the house is quiet because you've read something on the page, and then to cry when it's really, it's not just that it's sad for the character, it's just, it's a sad thing about life that I'm writing about. It's really sad because you know that life is like this. And so when you feel those things, the messages get in because your emotions are engaged in a way that if I'm just in your head and I just give you a bullet point, you are never going to get it in the same way, never.
Well, I want to thank you for being so committed to the balance in my healthy life of laughing and crying. Duality does serve a purpose. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I think is really important and one of the challenges that actually I run into in the field is that I'm going to tell the truth about what life really is. Because a lot of the teachers that are out there, and I love them. I love the what I call the love and light teachers. I love them. They're fabulous. And they embody this, and it's beautiful. But, you know, and for example, I love Eckhart Tolle. Awesome, awesome. Love The Power of Now. Awesome book. But you can't share The Power of Now with someone who's just lost their child and expect them to be able to even look at you. You have to be able to speak in the conversation of real life that happens, because we don't only manifest our destiny, life happens too. And we have to speak to that truth, or we're being sold something. And it's not really very helpful when the real shit hits the fan.
Well, the nails don't fall so that we could see. I mean, we can skip through life, and oftentimes this has been referred to as spiritual bypass, and you have people that say, well, you can't focus on the negative. No, but you need to acknowledge the human tragedy and to acknowledge that you are a physical being. You're not just non-physical, although that's a bigger part of you. But in order to make that connection, you need to acknowledge what is in the physical and what transpires and what our experiences are. So I really, really kudos to you on that.
Absolutely. And that's why we're fasting, right? Or we're cleansing.
Right.
Because we're still in a body, and the body still has crap, and we need to get rid of it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You don't go to your angel and you go, like, you know, give me well-being. I deserve it. Goodbye. You know?
Yeah.
Yet we
life is way more dynamic than that, and I, for one, am glad that it is. But can I give you a secret that I have that is like changed everything for me?
Oh, well, yeah, share it with everyone. Please do.
This is the highest learning that I got in my own growth. And that was, one day I was looking at a picture of myself from back when I was in a difficult time of my life. And in the picture, I'm actually, you know, laughing and all that. But I remember this time of life was really, really, really hard and painful. And I heard this message, and it said, you've always been happy. And my response to that was, yeah, bullshit. I remember. I was not happy. I'm sorry, but I was not happy. And the message came clear again. It said, no, go deeper. You've always been happy, even in your unhappiness. And I went and I said, okay, I'm going to try this. And I went deep into it, and I realized that I actually had always, on some level, been happy. And what struck me and what changed everything for me was when I realized that I'm actually not completely unhappy even when I'm unhappy. So even when I'm cranky, I mean, do I sound really unhappy?
No, not at all. But you know that it's that part of that humanness that's coming through to it
on an
experiential level.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that needs to be acknowledged.
Yeah, but if I can be happy whether I'm happy or not, if I can have a deeper happy whether I'm happy or not, I'm free. I'm home.
Exactly.
Nothing can stop me.
Well, that's what we're looking at really is really to reach the overall. I mean, you know, I haven't mentioned this really on the radio at all, but I'm now going to be a published author myself, which I'm excited about. And having been selected as a co-author to join Jack Canfield, Deepak Chopra, and Dr. Dennis Waitley in a book called The Stepping Stones to Success.
Awesome.
In business, life, and relationships. And, you know, when I was asked to do this, I was like, what am I going to write about? Because I'm only devoting a chapter to the book. But I really struggled with for a couple of months. And, you know, something that generated me when I first started on Facebook was a signature. And I found myself telling people to find the joy in enjoying their journey, because that was something that I always sought for throughout my experiences. You know, as I started embarking on my spiritual journey quest, was that there's always something good. There's always that silver lining. There's always that takeaway. And as long as you're taking away something, your gratitude increases, your appreciation increases, you start feeling good, and you start opening up to more, and your heart opens. All this wonderful, wonderful stuff starts to happen. And someone said to me, I can't remember, why don't you just write about finding the joy enjoying the journey? And that's what it is. But one of the meat and potatoes that I get into in that is that, you know, not to deny your human experience.
Awesome.
Because without that human experience, you wouldn't know what joy is until you've had the sorrow and you've experienced the sorrow. and that's why diverse. That's how diversity serves us all. So, so thank you again for that. I knew there was a reason why I connected with you.
Well, likewise. Oh, I think that's wonderful. Let us know when your book comes out. That's very, very cool. I mean, I know how big a process that is. So,
oh, it is, and it's only a chapter. Oh my God! You know, I started writing two other books, and you know, this seemed to actually have its own deadline. So I really needed to cramp down and move with it. But the chapter, I think, was more difficult than writing an entire book. Because you want to share so much and you really want, you know, to cover so much and then to have to really narrow it down and squeeze it into, you know, so many pages. But, and actually you can go to my website, which is www.quantumdestinies.com, and you can actually pre-order the book. It's hoping it'll be out within this first quarter of 2010. So thank you for allowing me to plug on my own show.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, if you wouldn't mind, you have a daughter, Robin, named Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I was skimming your Facebook page and saw that you had put up a video, or actually she did put up a video, and she was diagnosed as autistic when she was 2 years old. Would you mind sharing... talk about humanness and some of the trials and the tribulations and the adversities that we go through. Would you be able to share something about your experience being the mom of an autistic or a child with Asperger's syndrome?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the reasons why we made the video was because she is one of the very rare young people. I mean, it's not completely rare, but for her, she is so high functioning that people don't even know. Her friends at school don't even know. Her teachers don't know unless they've read her files. So it's really rare, and she wanted to offer hope. You know, like every parent, when I first heard the news, it was devastating because you have no idea what this means. I was told she might never talk. She might never have a mental capacity. And, you know, I even to this day, I say there were three different very palpable phases. There was Taylor before the diagnosis and who she was to me at that point, Taylor in the diagnosis, and then Taylor after it became obvious that she was going to be fine and do, in fact, very, very well. So, and it doesn't, my love for her never changed or any of that, but my sense of who we were going to be as a family, who we were going to be together, who I was going to be as a mom, all of those things changed drastically. And I mean, I don't think you can shoot any stronger arrow, you know, into my heart than to know that my child is sick. And that there's, at least at the beginning, they said there's nothing you can do. They didn't know why they, I mean, to this day, they don't know a lot of things, But it was intense. I'm not sure what you wanted to know about that. Tell me that again.
Well, I mean, she's beautiful and intelligent. I mean, you know, I think back to when I was 12 years old, and I said, could I carry on a conversation like that? And I was like, you know, this is amazing. And, you know, I encourage everyone to go to the video. Perhaps you can give the link because I don't have it. Would you have it?
If you go to YouTube and type in Hope for Autism and Asperger's, which is Aspergers. I don't think I say it right necessarily, but
I believe that's
Asperger's,
right.
Asperger's, some people say. Then you'll probably find, you know, her video is there. You can also... go to bewhoyouare.com/taylor.php, and she's got her own little sign-up page we just created because we had no idea. I mean, we put the video up this time last week, and we're already at 3,200 views in a week. So it's hit a huge nerve. But she's extremely articulate. I think the thing that I mean, there were quite a few different factors that went into getting her well, but in raising her, my philosophy of raising children, you know, really had to embrace a lot. You know, it has to stretch. You can't think, well, I know how I'm going to do this now. You have to learn to listen. And what I found was that both of my children, who are very different, I have a 21-year-old son, very different paths. They told me who they were and what they needed very clearly. And I set aside my agenda for what I thought it should be and listened. And because of that, I went, you know, exactly where they needed to go. With my son, I was very much, we had an alternative school, very creative. This was, you know, no grades, just a really interesting school system. And I would have loved that for myself. So, of course, I would have loved that for my daughter. But by third or fourth grade, she said to me, Mom, I want to go to a school that's really heavy in science and math. And I looked at her like she was crazy.
Like, yeah, right.
Science and math? Are you serious? You know, this is indoctrination. This is a public school system. You don't want to do this. And she did. She really did want to do this. And now she's at the top of an international baccalaureate program. She's got like a 4.36 GPA. She's going to go to Cornell if she can.
How old is she?
She's 17.
Oh, 17 now. Okay.
Yeah, she's 17 now. So, you know, she told me who she was, and I followed that. And it's really hard to not, as a parent, think you need to know where it all is supposed to go and how it's supposed to be. But if you listen, and that's not to say that she runs the show or my kids, you know, didn't have structure or discipline, because they did. But when they said, this is who I am, I said, okay. Good to know.
Well, and, you know, beyond being a parent, though, Robin,
mm-hmm.
what was in this whole thing for you? I mean, we know that synchronicities are here and that things, you know, are a reason, and you were a vehicle for her to come through and to be who she was.
Mm-hmm.
So can you share a little bit about what it's meant for you, what possibly it's opened up for you in your own world?
I mean, so many things. It's hard to say. You know, the deepest truth is, and I don't say this very often, basically I told whatever consciousness ran the universe that I would give up my own life for her if she could.
Wow.
If she
That's
could get
powerful.
Well, I would do whatever I had to do. And I just said, this is absolutely unacceptable. I had already had an enormous amount of tragedy in my childhood. And I looked at this and I just said, you know, you show me what you want me to do, you know, to the greater universe. You show me the path you want me to take, and I will take it. But this little girl will get well.
And this, not living fiction.
No, this is real. And again, I don't say that very often because it's so easy to take that wrong. But if you're asking about my heart, that was what my heart did. That's what my heart said, and said it very clearly and very plainly, and really just said, whatever path you want to open is fine, but this is where we're going.
Wow, that's really, really powerful. And you know what? I appreciate the courage for you to step out and say that, you know, and share that with us. I'm really appreciative of that.
And I don't want to say
there.
Okay, I do want to say, too, just as a caveat by saying that does not mean that I believe that children that don't get well don't have mothers that said that.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying that you know, because it's easy to take that wrong, to say, oh, well, you know, I must have not have been a good enough mother because I didn't say that and my kids aren't well. That's not it at all. That was just my heart. That's all I'm sharing.
Well, yeah, but that's what's important, was that in your heart you found the courage to ask.
Absolutely.
You know, no matter what it was meaning to you at the time, just the fact that it was that meaningful to you. And
sure.
That was just a way of expressing that meaningfulness,
yeah.
You know, and what that was. And I appreciate that. And thanks again for sharing. You know, we did have a caller on the line. I think they've since put their hand down, but I did want to connect with them before we leave. But
yes,
if you could tell us again, bewhoyouare.com/, what was it, Taylor?
Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R .php.
.php. Okay. Wonderful video there, folks. She's an awesome, awesome young lady. And you can just tell that she's making up her own mind, too.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and I wouldn't mind disconnecting from this world a little bit and going back into that world. And I think that's what you mean by living fiction, too, is about using your imagination and connecting. And I know in the video she says really that she looks at her life as really, it's really fun being different, you know,
yeah.
And that's that. To me, that's finding the joy and enjoying the journey, and that's exactly what I mean by that. So another resonation. Here we go. And I'm really happy about that. But I'd just like to bring our caller on the line if they're still interested in commenting or have a question or sharing. So I'm going to bring them up on the air. Hello, Aries.
Hello.
541, you're on the air. Would you like to share or you have a comment or a question?
Well, actually, Robin, it's good to hear your voice. This is Robert.
Hey, Robert, York?
On Facebook. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Hi.
I saw your post, and I really wanted to connect with the show because of your cleansing diet. I've now got three avenues that I want to make a comment about.
Okay.
The number one is the cleansing one. When I had to go through a cleansing thing, I quit. I'll turn that down a little bit there. I quit going to any fast foods, drinking any sodas, anything like that. And it really helped the cleansing.
Awesome.
And I've dropped close to about 100 pounds over a year.
Wow.
Just on the cleansing.
Oh, my
wow.
God. Bless you, Robert.
The second thing is if you have not read Robin's book, Venus for a Day, I highly recommend you get it. Because it'll keep you spellbound, and the new one that's coming out real soon, I'm trying to now get it downloaded to my computer so I can read it. And the third one is, and you guys actually brought it up already, Robin, your daughter and the courage that she had to do that video, it brings me to realize that my son was not alone.
Mm.
My son was developmentally delayed when he was born. He had trouble learning. He had trouble reading. And I knew that he could do it. I knew in my heart that he could do it. And I always fought for him. If anybody ever said anything negative towards him, they had to come through me.
Awesome.
And I just want to say for you, Susie, and Tyler, Nanaha. And Nanaha means spirit love.
Mm.
And thank you very much for your time. And I'll let the next caller come on.
Oh, Robert, thank you so much for sharing and, you know, and just letting us know, you know, what's been meaningful to you and what you're finding here and with, you know, with what Robin's about and the connection with your child as well. I mean, it's really, really, we love these stories. You know, we love to hear how people are really finding the appreciation in the world for things that are touching them and, you know, things that they resonate with. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and
thank
Robert,
you.
I'm just delighted to hear your voice because, you know, Facebook is so, you know, flat with voices. It's wonderful to connect. So I'm connecting with you now.
I have your link on my website, on my homepage on AOL so that every time that you send something out on Be Who You Are, I get the information immediately. I don't even have to go to Facebook. It automatically comes to my email.
Wow, you'll have to teach me how to do that.
Yeah,
right,
me too.
But,
me
I,
too.
You know, I'm really honored with that. And one thing I did want to say, because I forgot to say this earlier, but anybody who wants Venus for a Day, it's always up free at venusforaday.com. So you can download it for free.
Okay, I'm going to pop that into the chat room.
It is very, it is spellbounding. And when you get to the end, be ready to take a deep breath. I'm not going to give anything away, Robin.
I'm good. I'm so glad you like it. That's wonderful. It's, you know, as an author, you spend years working on things, you know. And I actually lost a lot of my eyesight working on Venus, which was really interesting because the computer, I worked on it, you know, hours, like from sunup to sundown for months, and that was one of the costs of it. So when I hear someone reads it, it's not like, oh, yeah, they read my book. It's like, oh, yeah, now I gave my eyesight for that.
Oh, geez.
So it means a lot. It means a lot.
Wow.
Very good. Very good. Okay, Robin, let's jump.
All right, let's jump.
Yeah, let's all jump, right. And let's get back to face paint.
Face paint, yeah, you keep saying that.
Is this war paint? What is this, Robin?
Oh, yes. It's, I'm a contemporary shaman, so there's that element of me in there. I'm starting a new blog this year. It's a video blog called Uptribe, Uptribe. It's not up yet, but so the idea is that we're going to, you know, bring the deeper understandings of all the travelings and all the workshops I've done and all that onto there. But for me, you know, I'm not trying to be indigenous. I'm not trying to be a wannabe, you know, Native American or something along those lines. When we want to get out of our normal identity, and when any indigenous tribe wants to get out of a normal identity, they wear costumes or they put on face paint or they do something that allows them to say, okay, we're not in ordinary reality right now. There's something more going on. And so for me, actually one of my apprentices, my shamanic apprentices, a year ago, did that for me, and she's actually one of the top makeup artists in Canada. And so she did my face and hair, and then we did, you know, kind of a photography session. But for me, the fierceness that I bring when I need to, whether it's for my child or it's an advocate for something else, I want to be able to bring out my fierceness. And so when you see me with the face paint on my picture, which I don't always have that one up on Facebook, as you know, I have different ones. But when you see that one, Robin's being fierce. And so with the cleanse right now, I got to be fierce, you know.
Well, that crankiness has to channel into
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
And I think that's great because it does. It brings me back to remind me of our last year's show, because it's been over a year now that we've been on the radio,
wow,
with Michael Bernard Beckwith, and it was about the spiritual warrior. And
yeah,
it's really about, you know, imputing the energy and holding the energy that you have and moving forward with it. And really, I wouldn't use the word fight, but it's about being in your strength and being fierce with your strength,
yeah,
and really letting that not just lead you, but the contributions that we make to humanity as a whole in this collective consciousness is really what's, you know, if there's any place to be, that's where we want to be. If we want to evoke change, we want evolution to go the way that we're all envisioning it, you know, in our living fiction, then this is the place to be. So I really admire, you know, your painting your face like that.
Well,
I'm trying to think, what I should be doing.
Well, I think fierce is a great word, you know, because it doesn't mean angry. It doesn't mean frustrated. It doesn't mean I'm going to go to war with you. It just means that I can take a posture of fierceness. I can take it seriously. You know, ultimately, on the highest levels, nothing is serious. But sometimes we need to be fierce, and I think it's a great thing. You know, when you're looking at quitting smoking, if you don't have fierceness, forget it. You know, you've got to be able to engage your fierceness. You have to have something inside of you that says, look, this is more important to me than all the little reasons that I'm going to be fighting, all the little, I see them sometimes as, you know, tiny little, you know, thoughts with bows and arrows that are kind of shooting at me going, ooh, wouldn't that potato chip be good? Or, ooh, that, you know, whatever,
yeah, right?
It is, you know.
Pick and choose our fights here, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, you stand up fiercely and you say, no, I do not want a potato chip. which is kind of funny, but you know what I'm saying. That fierceness
yeah.
is critical. And it doesn't mean you're not loving and caring and genuine and all of those things. It's, you know, we're multifaceted. When fierceness is called for, let's be fierce.
Well, you know, when I think about fierce, I think about the energy that flows through and emerges on the face. When you think about, you know, fierceness in wild animals, it's really about the way that they're looking at you, that you're connecting with. And
yes.
without even really going inside, but it brings you totally inside. And the way I like to look at fierce, just from the way you described it, is really passion with fire. I don't know. It's probably spelled different, but that's what it reminds me of.
yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's awesome because fire is part of what we are.
Oh, we had a caller on the line, and they just dropped off, unfortunately.
Oh, shucks.
As interactive as I wanted this to be, I really do, you know, thank everyone and appreciate everyone being in the chat room. I don't know if you're in there, Robin, but we've had quite a bit of activity in there.
I'm not in the chat room, but I did want to say hi to Robin C. Rice and Pam Caldwell because they're both on my Facebook page, and they wrote in to say that they were listening. So, hi.
Oh, great. I love Pammy. She's great.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Now, we just have about 12 minutes or so left on the show, and I'm not quite sure if we've really been on topic. However, it's really not a concern of mine.
you said we're going into the wild unknown. So.
Yes, exactly. Well, I did say that to you. You know,
right.
If I told that to my listeners, I don't know how they would take it. But no, in all honesty, you know, we expand in every moment, and these conversations have never taken place before. So it's all new, it's all exciting, and we're expanding. You know, we've expanded in many directions, and you know, I only hope that people can resonate with what was meaningful for them, you know, and I really love about getting fierce in 2010. And again, you know, we're so used to welcoming in the new year. Let's find out what 2010 is actually going to give back in return. You know, we're welcoming them in. Let's see what it's welcoming us to doing for ourselves. And, you know, detoxing is not just about the body. It's about some of the blockages and the things that are getting in the way when you're coming to the realizations that you feel really far and apart from your dreams and from your aspirations. So not that we need to unravel a whole lot of stuff going on, but just acknowledging that when we're in that space, that's where we step into our power, and that's where the whole thing begins. And then the choice becomes, and then we have a choice. You know, we actually allow ourselves the choice to make. So, now I think I'm losing my voice. Can you hear that?
I think you are, too.
It's only the beginning of the year. One thing I did want to mention to our listeners, that I have decided for Wisdom Wide Open Radio that we are going to become a bi-monthly show. We will no longer be broadcasting every week at 6 p.m. on Sundays, but every other week. I've taken on a lot in my life, and I love doing the radio show. There's a lot of work involved with it, but there's things I need to be focusing on, and I really want to be able to get good quality information, such as what Robin had shared with us this evening and in our conversation, and you know, give you back a little bit more of your time too. So I hope that you'll appreciate that. And what's coming up for you next, Robin?
Well, the biggest thing is I'm actually teaching 3 online courses, which you can find under bewhoyouare.com/events, and they start next week. And and the beauty of them is they're 5 weeks long, and you can decide what you want to pay for them. So if money's a big deal, then no worries. So 3 different levels of courses, 1 on shamanism. One called the second half of the mountain, which is when you're really ready to go to that next, when you've kind of done all the spiritual stuff and you're still kind of not happy. and then another is the highest level of teaching I've ever taught, which is called Piercing the Heart of the World, Dynamic Teachings in Alchemy, Taoism, and Inevitable Grace. So if that title doesn't kind of, you know, I'm intimidated by the title.
You know what? It's grand. It's grand.
Yeah, it's grand,
right?
Exactly. I wanted to go grand. I wanted to be able to teach the top level that I could teach and offer it out there. And we've got quite a few people signed up for all three classes now, so I'm excited about it. And that's what my spring is, you know, winter and spring is going to be.
Wow. Okay, can you give us the link again? Because I'd like to type it into the chat room.
Sure.
BeWhoYouAre?
BeWhoYouAre.com/... actually, you know what? I think it's gatherings. It's not... the link... If you go to BeWhoYouAre.com, click on events. But if you actually want the full link, it's gatherings, gatherings.php.
.ph. Okay, .php. Yeah, you know, I'm multitasking right here.
You're good. Me too. I'm like, you've got three people that have just friended me on Facebook saying they're listening, so you've got quite a bit of listening going on here.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's what we love. And, you know, I encourage you too, Robin, jump in to the Wisdom Wide Open Radio group on Facebook.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of stuff, a lot of really good stuff for people to resonate with, even from last year. And I do have to say I'm really grateful for everyone who's not just joined the radio group but has really been present with us and offered their time in the space that, you know, we could provide for people to really expand and to learn and to journey and really find mindful resonance with, you know, what they're looking for in their lives. And that's really what we do, is just share the space here. And, you know, I'd like them to become more conversational as we go along, because I think that's where we find the expansion. It's not just about presenting and, you know, having people with books and things like that, but really what we got into today. And I really appreciate that, Robin. I really appreciate you sharing a piece of you in this space.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate your having me. This was just really fun.
Well, and maybe we could do it again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, everyone, we have about 3 minutes, and thank you again, Robin, and we'll be in touch, and warrior on, fierce lady.
All right, likewise, and like I said, let me know how your cleanse goes, because I want to be able to support you.
And people start picking up dirt and eating it. It's awesome. I can't wait to see.
I have to go look at that link. I just have to go look at that link, because I'm just blown away by the concept.
No, I do, and I am going to put it in the chat room again before we close out today. And I just want to let everyone know on January 31st, we'll be, welcoming Linda Blackman, who is actually a past life regression specialist, and she's been featured in the movie Spirit Space. Previously, we've had Brady on the show along with Fred Allen Wolf, and we're really going to get tuned into reconnecting with the soul for this year in 2010. So I appreciate if everyone would show up and join the party, because it's going to be a great one. All right. Thank you so much again, Robin, and thank you all our listeners. And remember to find the joy in enjoying your journey. Love to everyone. See you in a few weeks. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.